KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's sunny and 50 degrees in Atlantic. We look for sunny skies today, a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, the long circular path taken by a prairie chicken has surprised Iowa researchers. The hen was fitted with a GPS tracker and released April 4th near Kellerton in south central Iowa. It's logged nearly 1,200 miles since, flying south into northern Missouri and back again, and as far north as Guthrie County. The bird seems to have settled down in Union County. Jen Vogel is a research associate at Iowa State University who has monitored bird number 112. Vogel said researchers expected the bird to range across perhaps 50 miles. She told the Des Moines Register that researchers didn't really expect that distance of 1,200 miles. Scientists have been trying to reestablish the birds in Iowa, where they once were plentiful. Bird number 112 came from Nebraska. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
An economic index compiled from a survey of business leaders in 9 Midwestern and Plains states rose slightly last month, the first increase since March. The Mid-America Business Conditions Index hit 53.8 in August as compared with 53.5 in July. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says the results point to growth for the final quarter of this year, but at about half the rate of the first quarter. The survey results are compiled into a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Organizers say any score above 50 suggests growth, while a score below that suggests a decline. A recently released report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows it's not quite as costly to raise a child in the Midwest as in other parts of the country. The agency reports it took between $12,600 and $14,700 to raise a child in 2012, depending on the child's age. Dr. Robert Post is with the USDA's Center for Nutrition Policy and Promotion.
What we found in the period of 2011 to 2012 is that the costs related to health care, education, child care, as well as clothing, actually increased. Those percentages increased, and that constituted part of that 2.6% increase compared to last year.
That 2.6% increase was less than the average 4% annual increase since 1960. Post credits smaller increases in costs related to housing, transportation, and food in the period of 2011 to 2012. Mark Lino, economist with the USDA, says costs are also varied depending on where families live.
We found that families in the urban Northeast spent the most on a child. Where it was cheapest to raise a child, where families spent the least, was in rural areas throughout the country. And the main reason for this was rural areas had the lowest housing costs.
Kevin Concannon, the USDA Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services, is hoping that healthier eating programs will reduce the health care costs of raising a child in the years to come.
This past year, we successfully deployed a new meal, set of meal requirements that are healthier for children. Most schools made that adjustment pretty successfully, many of them very quietly but effectively, and we're looking forward to year two now.
In fact, for the first time in decades, the CDC reports that obesity rates are declining among some young children. Prior to joining the USDA, Concannon was director of the Iowa Department of Human Services. Iowa businesses will save next year on the amount of money they have to pay in for unemployment benefits. Iowa Workforce Development spokesperson Carrie Kuntz says they set the rate based on the tax table each year.
The table moves to a higher number, which is actually meaning the rates are lower. There are 8 tables possible, and that will be moving to table 6, which will save Iowa businesses about $104 million next year in taxes, which is money that they can use to reinvest in the economy.
Kuhn says the average rate paid by businesses will be 1.6% in 2014. That's down from 2.6% this year, or rather 2%, I should say. Kuhn says this is a third straight year the tax amount has dropped, which she says is an indication the economy is improving.
The employers pay this tax based on the salary paid to employees. It goes into the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, and that's what pays unemployment benefits to individuals that have lost their job.
The rate is in place for 1 year, and Kuhn said there shouldn't be any worry about paying benefits if the unemployment rate should start going back up again.
The formula that is used by law to calculate that kind of takes that into consideration. It requires you to have benefits, enough money in the trust fund to pay out at the highest level of benefits that you paid in the last 20 years. And so, therefore, it's pretty much securing that you will be covered anything that happens during the year.
Workforce Development Information says Iowa has one of the lowest unemployment insurance rates in the country. Iowa's ombudsman says Attorney General Tom Miller's staff has been trying to interfere with her office's ability to authority, that is, to investigate complaints about state and local governments. Ruth Cooper-Ryder told the Des Moines Register that state attorneys have taken steps that strike at the heart of our authority. Cooper-Ryder also says recent decisions by the Attorney General could affect her office's inquiries into whistleblower complaints. Miller's spokesman, Jeff Greenwood, said some of Cooper-Ryder's concerns were, quote, a reach. Deputy Attorney General Julie Potorff said whistleblowers can go to the ombudsman's office to air their concerns without the AG being involved. The ombudsman's office has the legal powers to investigate serious disputes and make recommendations on how improving government works. Elsewhere in the news, back to school means back to practice season for Iowa student athletes. Some of those students will end up in emergency rooms with sports-related injuries. Liz Dorland, a spokeswoman for the American Red Cross, says that type of injury accounts for 20% of all ER visits for young people.
Safe Kids Worldwide reports that every 25 seconds a child is hurt playing sports, and that more than 1 million emergency room visits are made due to sports-related injuries each year. So that's why the American Red Cross is offering, you know, several different courses that coaches and parents and people can be involved in so that they know how to treat a sports-related injury.
Dorland at the Red Cross office in the Omaha Council Bluffs metro area says there are several courses available in online series, including one specifically geared for teens and adults who will coach at any level.
It's very highly skilled. It's developed with the National Federation of State High School Associations. This course covers first aid skills, including breathing, emergencies, and serious injuries to muscles, bones, and joints. You know, we encourage everyone, but coaches especially are encouraged to take the CPR AED course that we offer as well.
Dorland says the courses were developed to inform those who are involved in sports to be prepared for emergencies. One class is labeled as the Family First Aid CPR course.
Participants will be able to learn how to treat any cardiac type event, breathing, first aid emergencies until help arrives. And then the American Red Cross, we also have an amazing first aid app. It's free for all smartphones and tablets. It gives users instant access to information on how to handle the most common first aid situations.
There's also a first aid app that's free to download on smartphones and tablets, which gives users instant access, as she mentioned, on how to handle all types of first aid emergencies. For more information, you can log on to redcross.org. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour here on KJAN, any U.S. strikes against the Syrian regime in retaliation for an alleged chemical weapons attack on Syrian civilians are not expected before next week when Congress gets back from summer recess. Meanwhile, President Obama continues to try to get House and Senate members to support such an attack. Obama meets today with members of the House and Senate committees and his Secretary of State, Defense Secretary, and Joint Chiefs Chairman, planned to appear before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. There's also a classified briefing with Congress. Israel said the ballistic objects detected earlier today by Russian radar systems were from a joint missile test Israel conducted with the U.S. The Israeli Defense Ministry says the test over the Mediterranean was successful. The test comes as the U.S. weighs whether to take military action against the Syrian regime. U.S. home prices jumped 12.4% in July from a year earlier. Real estate data provider CoreLogic says every state but Delaware experienced a price increase. And Nevada had the biggest jump of 27%. Consistent job gains and mortgage rates that are still historically low despite recent upticks are spurring more people to buy homes, and that's helped to drive prices higher. News time is 8:09.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. For major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Joseph Bays, age 54, of Fontenelle, died Thursday. A Mass of the Resurrection service for Joseph Bays will be this morning at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Leonard and Annabelle Schroeder, ages 86 and 83 respectively, both of whom are from Atlantic, died Thursday. Memorial services for Leonard and Annabelle Schroeder will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Wilma Best, age 94, of Fremont, Nebraska, and formerly of Shelby, died Saturday. Funeral services for Wilma Best will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Shelby United Methodist Church. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby has arrangements. Charles Maffin, age 77, of Earlham, died Friday. Funeral services for Charles Maffin will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Earlham Presbyterian Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Rosemary Becker, age 87, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Rosemary Becker will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has arrangements. Alice Lint, age 78, of Benora, died Wednesday in Des Moines. Services for Alice Lint will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Benora. Eleanor Allen, age 93, of Harlan, died Friday. Funeral services for Eleanor Allen will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ralph Hall, age 67, of Adair, died Sunday. Graveside services for Ralph Hall will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Bear Grove Cemetery in rural Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Harold Zvorak, age 87, of Walnut, died Friday. A celebration of life service for Harold Zvorak will be held Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Bernice Burnside, age 99, of formerly of Lewis, died Sunday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Bernice Burnside will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the United Congregational Methodist Church in Lewis. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has arrangements. Adelaide Cron, age 86, who's formerly of Panama, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. A Mass of Christian burial service for Adelaide Cron will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the St. Mary of Assumption Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Rodney Rhodes, age 59, of Atlantic, died Sunday at CCMH. Funeral services for Rodney Rhodes will be Thursday at 10:30 at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Velma Smith, age 101, of Lewis, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Velma Smith will be this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dorothy Weiss, age 88, of Manning, died Friday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Dorothy Weiss will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. And Valera Mayberry, age 100, formerly of Atlantic, died Monday at her home in West Des Moines. Services for Valera Mayberry are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And the news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.